On Sunday, August 5th, the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York, opened complimentary exhibitions, Jane Peterson at Home and Abroad in Changing the Landscape, Women Impressionists from the Thomas Clark Collection. Jane Peterson was a prominent early 20th century Impressionist. She traveled extensively and befriended the likes of Arthur Dow, Louis Comfort Tiffany, and Pablo Picasso. She experienced great success in her lifetime and was collected by John Rockefeller. Changing the Landscape, Women Impressionists from the Thomas Clark Collection is drawn from local collector Thomas Clark's extensive collection and includes the works of more than 15 female Impressionists from the late 1800s and early 1900s. Women's Equality Day is August 26th, and the Hyde Collection will present a special event at 1 o'clock. To tell us more about all the happenings at the Hyde, we welcome Jonathan Canning and Jenny Hutchinson to tell us more. Jonathan is the Hyde's Director of Curatorial Affairs and Programming, and Jenny is Head of Museum Education. It's a great pleasure to have you both with us. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Jonathan, let us begin with you of how these two exhibits came to be and how they complement one another.
Well, the Jane Peterson Show is part of a national movement to revitalize interest in this wonderful artist who has sort of fell into decline in the 1950s and 60s as abstraction took over. This is about the fourth national touring show in the last few years, and we are the final venue. After this, the exhibition will be broken up and it will go back to the collectors and the many institutions that have lent so that it could travel.
So what's the story that it tells, do you believe?
Well, it really, the exhibition and then the complementary show, Changing the Landscape, both look at this second generation of American Impressionists, but at the women of the group who are building on the advances made by the likes of Bette Morisot, of Cecilia Beaux, and Mary Cassatt, names that I think many of your listeners will know. They were part of the first generation who knew Monet and Manet and right. And worked in France.
The front lines, if you will.
Right. And so we're looking at the second generation who really took those advantages and the openings that had been created and pushed them as far as they could go. So these are women, Jane Peterson, really one of the leaders, who went to school, identified the teachers that they wanted to study under, traveled extensively to Europe. Jane Peterson went far afield in that she traveled to North Africa and to Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, and that they then came home. They had real careers, many buttressed by being teachers, but they got into exhibitions. They had galleries that supported them. They were reported in the press. Their work sold. They were very successful, but tastes change. And so starting following the Second World War, abstraction comes in with a vengeance. Jane Peterson was strongly against abstraction. She believed in finding beauty and depicting realistically, representationally depicting the world around us. And so she fell out of favor. The women of this second generation fall further and more quickly than the men into obscurity. And it's time to bring them back, because as you'll see, as you look at the paintings on the wall at the Hyde, they are incredibly accomplished and skilled painters.
So, Jenny, how do you tell this story? Since that's your job,
yes,
right?
Yes, in the education department. Well, I think one of the most interesting things about this exhibition of works is these are names that were not always even familiar in the art world. So as a practicing artist myself and as an educator, I'm kind of rediscovering some of these women's names and artistic practice that was lost with time, and able to begin to tell that story to our greater public so that they can be remembered.
So, and then tying this into the Thomas Clark Collection, is that easy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of these women, they were studying under similar teachers. They were traveling together. They're also going to similar areas. And then they're also painting similar subject matter. So it's really kind of interesting to kind of compare and contrast the artworks together. And it just kind of gives a greater breadth to what the Impressionist movement was like and all the different types of practice that were involved in that.
Jonathan, tell us a little bit about that Thomas Clark collection and the pieces that you pick for this particular show.
Well, Tom Clark is a regional collector, and he specifically looks at this second, collects this second generation of American Impressionists, 1890 to 1940, works in oil. And his collection comprises about 160 pieces or so. What I did first off was to simply go through and ask for at least one example of every female artist in his collection.
Right.
I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Sure.
And then we fleshed it out so that we have 30 works altogether. And as Jenny said, just about everybody represented in his collection knew Jane Peterson. They either were at school together, they were shown in exhibitions together. Ira Lee Gall traveled with Jane Peterson to Constantinople. Or they know her through the fact that so many of them summered in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And we have a whole section in which there are paintings from the summer artist colony in Gloucester.
What you were talking about when it comes to Jane Peterson and the obscurity that went so quickly as compared to men, do you see that reflected in someone who collected of that period like Thomas Clark? Does that make sense? Meaning that as a collector, do you think you notice those issues?
Well, I think one of the strengths of Tom's approach to collecting is that he really studies and gets to know who the artists were in his field. And I think at first he just was attracted to the strength of the work. He didn't need to know the name or the gender of the artist. What appealed to him was the mastery of
right.
the painting technique.
What he liked.
And then he started to realize, well, you know, this is here's a group of female artists who he did not know of. It was a little more difficult to find information about them, he's been, I think, very careful to make sure that they're properly represented in his collection once he realized that there was this group of little-known women artists out there. Yeah.
So now that these exhibits are up and running, what's going on at the museum?
Well, we have quite a few things kind of coming up, particularly this weekend. One of the things that we're doing in the education department is we're talking about this practice of plein air, which is working outside. Nowadays, we have photography that's readily available on our phones, so it's something that we
right.
kind of forget about.
Yep.
So we're hosting an open studio on Saturday, August 25th with Takis Walters. She's a plein air artist from the Saratoga region, and she'll be teaching a workshop from 10:30 to 1 p.m. And then we're also hosting on Sunday, we're part of Women's Equality Day.
Right.
So at 1 p.m., we'll have a panel discussion with Roberta Reardon from the New York Department of Labor, our commissioner, and we'll also have the president of St. Roge, Caroline Stefanko, speaking as well.
Great. And talking about equality, but also I assume that what you're discussing here is part mm-hmm. of art is part of that discussion as well.
Well, absolutely. In terms of women's place in the artistic environment, what our role is, it certainly ties into that.
Is and not a, I would assume, not a difficult story to tell given the work you have to choose from.
Mm-hmm. I think the startling statistic that I came across with it in 1920, when many of the women, including Jane Peterson, were really beginning to make it, they represented 41% of artists in the country according to the 1920 national census. That statistic was not matched again until the late 1960s. So there's a whole period in which they fell in, women as artists sort of fell into decline. And, you know, now I think women really are about 50% of the recognized self-declared artists on the national census form. So they've claimed their place.
We were talking about how these exhibits complement each other. How do they complement the overall collection at the Hyde and what is in the Hyde House and the rest of the museum?
Well, we always start from the fact that our foundress, Charlotte Hyde, really sort of kicked the trend in that she was determined to open a museum for our locality. So we are founded by a woman with a great vision. I'm delighted that, in a sense, the exhibition calendar and national events have coincided as they have, mm-hmm. because this is definitely the moment in which we should be promoting the rights of women. And here we can show how they have claimed their position, but we mustn't backtrack, because the mistake is that someone like Jane Peterson falls out. That Jane Peterson, as an inspiration for generations, slips away. Mm-hmm. We forgot her name. We forgot the names of so many of these women.
That's right, Jenny. Good timing here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good to bring all the dots together. Well, mm-hmm. you can find out more information by going to hydecollection.org. The two exhibits are Jane Peterson at Home and Abroad and Changing the Landscape, Women Impressionists from the Thomas Clark Collection. Both are on display now. They go through end of...
Through the middle of the October.
Okay, mid-October. And you have until then. Don't forget, Women's Equality Day is the 26th, and the Hyde Collection will have that special event at 1 o'clock. You can find information about all of this by going to hydecollection.org, hydecollection.org. Jonathan and Jenny, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure. Always, always wonderful to find out what's happening at the Hyde. Have a great remainder of the summer, and we'll talk soon.
And
thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.